All right, so on page 4 of this paper, we talk about the beginning of a client relationship. So, you know, clients come to us in many ways. I'm an estate planning attorney, so a lot of times I'll get a call or an email from a financial advisor, maybe a current client, another attorney in my law firm. Back when we had cocktail parties, you might talk to somebody there, something like that. What's important to remember about confidentiality is under Model Rule 1.18, a person who consults with an attorney about the possibility of forming a client-lawyer relationship, so a prospective client, essentially you've got the same duty of confidentiality on a prospective client that you do with any normal client that you sign up. And so that's a very, very broad rule. You know, we've been starting to meet a lot more of our clients initially through, you know, Zoom or video conferences. And all of these things can create a prospective client relationship. So you kind of do need to be a little bit careful, particularly when you're thinking about conflicts, about getting too much information too quickly. A lot of times in my world, that's not that big of a deal. I mean, we're talking about doing a will or a trust and things like that. But if I'm talking to somebody about, you know, beneficiary rights in an estate or a trust, or if we're talking about potentially a premarital agreement or, you know, something to do kind of on the divorce side of things, you kind of need to be careful about how much information you're getting so you don't run into conflicts issues on the front end. There's sort of a famous scene from The Sopranos where, you remember Tony and Carmela, they're getting divorced, and so Carmela starts to call, you know, all the good divorce attorneys in town. She calls up, and the attorney, hey, this is, you know, so-and-so, and she starts talking, you know, my husband and I are going through a tough time. We're looking at getting divorced. I'm going to have to stop you. Is your name Carmel? Yeah. Are you married to Tony Soprano? Well, Tony actually called me about a year ago. And so what Tony did was he called every good divorce lawyer basically in the tri-state area and gave him just enough information to conflict them out. And apparently, I didn't know this. I talked to some of my buddies who were in the family law space. That's like the oldest, you know, trick in the book. I didn't know. What's sort of interesting about that, if you look at comment 2 to Model Rule 1.18, they've kind of gotten wise to this. You know, so a person who communicates with a lawyer solely for the purpose of trying to conflict them out is not a prospective client, term of art, where you don't get into some of these rules. So, you know, you might see that. They've specifically adopted that in certain states. One thing we like to do, and I know a lot of firms will do, is, you know, you go to your website, you want to be able to click on Patrick's name and send him an email so you can say, hey, I want to give you a bunch of money to represent me in this really big case. Well, you don't want someone trying to conflict him out. And so an email disclaimer. You know, just because you email me, this is not forming a client relationship. We have to have an actual engagement letter. On page 5 of the paper is the one that we use. So if you have something or you don't have something, you know, hopefully that could be helpful. By the way, there's all this language all throughout this paper. If you read it and you got ways to make it better, I'd love to know. I'm sure there's ways to make it better. All right, so still on page 5, we're kind of at the outset of a client relationship, and this is when it's most important to identify conflicts of interest and potential conflicts. Long story short, if you take a look at Model Rule 1.7, you can generally proceed in spite of a potential conflict as long as you're not going to be materially limited because of that issue. And I'll tell you, in the estate planning world at least, we just run into conflicts all the time. We're sort of a treasure trove for conflicts. Our firm's general counsel probably has a much higher percentage of talking to us and our group than anybody else. So you think about it, spouses, you know, we represent spouses all the time. I mean, I've never had an argument with my wife. I've just been wrong a lot, right? But, you know, spouses don't always agree, particularly when you start getting into things like what's separate property, what's community property. You know, you might have different opinions on how to dispose of your estate, you know, that sort of thing. So there's an inherent potential conflict anytime you're representing spouses. The best thing to do when you're dealing with this is deal with it in the engagement letter. We also deal with this with just family relationships. One of the cool things about my practice is that we get to represent multiple generations of a family. So I love it when we represent mom and dad, and then we might represent son and daughter and spouses and even third and fourth generations, and you just get to know these families, and it's great. But it also presents a lot of conflicts. You know, mom and dad might not necessarily think the same way about inheriting property or naming executors and trustees as son and daughter. And so you run into these things whenever you get representing multiple generations of a family. And what we'll always do, it's typically mom and dad, or sometimes it goes the other way, but they'll ask, hey, you know, my son needs an estate plan. We'll sign up an engagement letter with son and spouse, and then we'll also get a waiver of conflicts letter signed by mom and dad. It's not an offensive thing to ask for. And boy, it sure is nice to pull it out if you ever need it. Fiduciaries and beneficiaries is another big one. You know, who are you representing? Are you representing the executor trustee? Are you representing the beneficiary? What if you have somebody who's a fiduciary and a beneficiary? Just thinking through these things and the potential conflicts on the front end. Businesses and their owners. You know, particularly probably on the income tax side, you run into this quite a bit. You know, I represent a business owner. Well, do I represent them individually? Is it the company? You know, what happens when you've got a sole member of a company? Is what's good for the individual? What's good for the company? I'm basically raising a lot of questions, not giving a lot of answers. But the point is, thinking about this stuff at the outset of a client relationship.